Cottonell Park played a very important part in my childhood in the 1950s. It had something to offer in every season. We lived about 6 blocks from the park, so it wasn't far away, so far away that we couldn't get there almost daily in the summer. The Park Service in Omaha provided a summer craft program. The program was manned with high school or college kids who were always so good to us. They patiently showed us how to do whatever the craft of the day was. I remember going there with enough pocket change to buy materials for making a lanyard out of colorful long strips of plastic. Sometimes we learned how to weave pot holders in a kind of crisscross weave. They were really good pot holders too, and my mom really used hers. We learned how to paint primitive little pictures on squares of glass and frame them. They also showed us how to paint on crumpled tinfoil and frame those little masterpieces. All was cutting edge, of course, and we loved it. When we were finished, we would walk across the street to Reed's ice cream stand. To my knowledge, Reed's only offered 3 flavors, vanilla, chocolate, and an orange sherbet, that came in long tubes. For a nickel, you got a small one, but for a dime, they would slice off a longer piece. Every time I look at a fresh eraser on the end of a pencil, I think of those orange sherbet ice cream cones. The Park Service also offered a summer show wagon where we got chances to showcase our budding talents. I played a few shaky pieces on the piano and wobbled through a ballet dance to Claire de Lune in my little white tutu. Our parents came along to watch from lawn chairs and blankets. The most spectacular thing in the park was a 4th of July celebration, fireworks celebration, that was quite elaborate. Every year, our whole family would trudge down the hill laden with pots full of popcorn, thermoses, Kool-Aid, and blankets. We would try to get there fairly early so that we could plant our blanket on a perfect spot on the hillside. We always had a great view of the beautiful fireworks that seemed to go on forever. It had kind of a double ending, and people not familiar with this would start to gather their things and leave. But we knew the display was not over yet, because a man would row a boat across the lagoon to the island where 15 minutes later he would start blowing up the island. Much to the chagrin of the ducks who lived there. This was called the bombing of Tokyo, and it was a wonderful pyrotechnical blast of earth-shattering booms. The display was always beautiful and patriotic, a magnificent end to the evening. After that, we would gather up our blankets, clean up after ourselves, and walk home to a feast of watermelon. Dad had always bought his own private supply of firecrackers, and he liked the loud ones, and he taught us how to fire them off without losing a finger or an arm. We had pop bottle rockets, M-80s, and cherry bombs that would wake the dead. The evening would dwindle down to a tame contest of spitting our watermelon seeds, and finally happily going off to bed to the faint and distant sound of other people's fireworks. My dad had a garage full of mysterious items, and we had full use of anything that didn't plug into the wall. The electric saw was definitely off limits, but everything else was up for grabs as long as we put it back. My friend Lois and I decided one day that we would build a raft. So we rooted around for old planks and boards. We banged it all together into a rickety sort of a raft and loaded it onto my wagon. And we trundled it down the hill to the Fontenelle Park Lagoon. We dragged it off the wagon and heaved it into the water where it sank. There went all our dreams of exploring the lagoon island and maybe catching a duck. In the winter, the park took on a new identity. Covered in snow, it was magical. In those days, it got cold enough that the lagoon froze rock solid and the park was open to skaters. We would sling our ice skates over our shoulders and go off for a nice afternoon of gliding over the surface of the lagoon. Now, you would think it would always be smooth like a skating rink, but because the wind blew while it was freezing, there were often rippling places that we had to learn to skate over. We got pretty good at maneuvering over the rough parts. Often, someone would loosely organize a game of Whip the Snake. A long line of us would join hands and skate in a circle, and God help the poor kid on the end. We would get to going so fast that if the end kid let go, he would be whipped out into no man's land at warp speed. There was a place in the basement of the pavilion where we could buy candy and warm up on an old stove, around an old stove. There was a man on duty to take our money and smoke the stove. It was a steamy, smelly bliss. The park was full of hills, so it was a sledder's paradise. In those days, nobody thought much about safety, so someone built a gigantic wooden slide that was covered with ice. We kids would line up with our sleds, and in with our sleds in hand, climb the steps to the top, which was really high, scary high. Then we would place our sleds on the level place, teetering over the steep, icy ramp, and clatter down at breakneck speed over the ice-covered wood to our unknown fate. Most of us came out with our arms and legs intact, but finally one kid hit a tree and the slide had to come down. It's probably a good thing, but I'm glad that ramp was there all during my childhood. The park was a very happy place during my childhood. I think Mom kind of knew where we were, but since it was pretty safe in those days, we just roamed free without worrying about anyone kidnapping us. Who'd want us? We were sweaty, hotty, hot. We were sweaty, hot, dirty, hungry, and happy. The end.